Good to see you each one this evening. That last song was a new song to me. So what does jubilate mean? Anyone know those three words?
Joyful.
I was thinking maybe meant hallelujah or something like that, another language or something. Yeah, I appreciated the song. So yeah, greet you this morning or this evening in Jesus' name. A worthy and precious name. We sang about that name this evening. He's worthy of our worship, our devotion, our entire life. It's through him that we have forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. I was sitting there this evening and a thought went through my mind, or a memory went through my mind. Brother Willie is not here tonight, is he? He was a part of that memory. John and Emma's wedding day. This kind of it ties into what I want to share this evening. On John and Emma's wedding day, me and Willie, Marlene's, were ushers, and we were at Grable Missionary Church. And as we were waiting on people to come, we were kind of walking around, and we found a bookshelf. And on the bookshelf, we found this book. And the title of the book was called Acceptable Sins. And we kind of chuckled about it, and we thought, this must be really a loose church, Acceptable Sins. And I opened it and I started looking through it. And then I understood what the title was. The title of the book was about eight sins, if I remember right, it was eight sins that we accept as Christian people in our lives, but they're sin. But we can accept them, or we will accept them, because they don't seem so bad. So if you open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 12, something I've been thinking about the last few weeks because of a conversation I had with a brother one Sunday afternoon. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, starting verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, inasmuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils by the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Either make the tree good, or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, but the tree is known by its fruit. Old generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I wanted to read all that to give a context of what Jesus was saying here. My focus is the last two verses. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. The Pharisees, they were offended because the people were saying, Is this not the son of David? Isn't this the Messiah? Isn't this the man, the Son of God? But the Pharisees, because they were in positions of authority and power, they quickly threw accusations against the people, and they said, or against Jesus, I'm sorry, they quickly threw accusations against Jesus and said, he's a son of the devil. He's doing these things by the power of the devil. And a lot of times I think we focus, as a people, we focus on that, the unforgivable sin there, the unpardonable sin. But we miss, maybe, the next point, is that every idle word we speak, we shall give an account of in the day of judgment. And by our words, we're going to be condemned or justified. So as we look at those verses, we look at those words, he said, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of our heart comes our words. Out of our heart comes what we say. And out of our, out of the abundance of the heart, or the overflow of the heart, this comes our words. That's what comes off our tongues. The Amplified in verse 35 says it like this. The good man from his inner good treasure brings out good things. The evil man from his evil inner treasure brings out evil things. And then Jesus gives this warning. Every idle word. The conversation I had with a brother went something like this. We were talking about this. He had just was looking at this account, and he made a statement. He said, we think about idle words, and we think about it as curse words and bywords and those kind of things, slang words. But he said, I believe that it's everything that tears down and does not build up. Or it's useless. It's a useless word. And that's literally what the word means, the idle. It means it's inactive. It means it's unemployed. If you're idle, you're unemployed. It means lazy. It means useless. And it means barren. If you take that into account, an idle word, a phrase, or and things that we're saying or saying or talking about, that's just barren. It just has no fruit. There's just no fruit coming from it. That's what this is talking about. And it struck me because I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it, an idle word or idle conversation being like that, because I would have viewed it like curse words and bywords and slang words, useless words. But there's more than one way to speak useless words. If we look at Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees, it wasn't just for their blasphemous words. They were blaspheming him. He was their creator, and they were attributing him and his works to the devil. But their words were also very careless. They were very careless words, thoughtless, useless, and they weren't building anyone up. They were tearing down. They had no good intentions. They were not graceful. That, if you think of idle and the opposite. Therefore, Jesus told them, he called them a den of snakes. He said, you den of snakes, you brood of vipers, out of your heart cometh these words. He's telling them, out of the treasure of your heart, the evil treasure of your heart, is where you're speaking. And I've used this phrase, and I've heard it used, and when something is said, and it says, well, that wasn't my heart. Well, yes, it was, because it came out of your heart. It came out, so it was in there. Now, I know we all misspeak sometimes, but we need to recognize that when we say those things, we need to look inward, and why did that come out? Maybe there's something in there we need to deal with. Jesus warned them that these words were going to either condemn them, they were going to condemn them in the day of judgment. They were going to condemn them. So, looking at the Pharisees, we can see that, but I want to apply it to us this evening, and I'm taking myself into this account because I've been guilty and I have misspoke and I have said things that I had to apologize for, and I've said things and I've said phrases and words that were idle words. So this isn't a preaching at you. This is a sharing with us about this thing of life, because that phrase. That title, that book, Acceptable Sins, I think sometimes we're guilty of it. We're guilty of accepting things in our life because that's just what everybody else is doing, so we just do it as well. So anything for us this evening, any word, any words we speak that are not edifying, that are careless, that are thoughtless, any useless words spoken with no grace and with ill intent, these are idle words, and they will be brought to judgment. By our words, we'll be justified, or by our words, we'll be condemned. The scripture says, Jesus said that. He said, we are accountable for the things we say, not just our actions. We are accountable for what we say. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. A while back, I looked that up. Seasoned with salt. What's that mean? What's it mean to have our speech seasoned with salt? It means to have prudence. Another way to say it, wisdom applied to practice. And caution in discerning. This one is one that blessed me the most. Caution in discerning the most suitable means to accomplish a valuable purpose. A carefulness with one eye to the future, not only our future, but the one we're speaking with. That we, when our speech is seasoned with grace, or seasoned with salt, filled with grace, seasoned with salt, it means that we have an eye for the future of the soul of that person that we're speaking with, however that may be. Whether it's our wife, whether it's our children, or whether it's a brother, whether it's a customer, that we have an eye for the future of that person. In Proverbs, there's many verses that talk about or give advice or direction for our speech, our tongue. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That's a pretty sobering verse. If we keep our mouth, we keep our tongue, we keep our life. But if we open wide our lips, and we're always, and I have found myself guilty of this in the years gone by of, in my Christian life, of having a quick tongue. And the Lord's working on me in that. He's taming my tongue. Also, 18:21, there's another verse that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We had a Bible study the other week, and this verse came up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit of. What's the fruit? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. We talked about that a little bit. What is it that they love, and what are they going to eat? So there's a fruit comes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we speak to someone, and we have ill intent, and we're trying to really give them one. Lacking a phrase here, but just to really tell them something. That's death. And we're going to eat the fruit of that. On the flip side, if we have a tongue and a mouth and a heart to build someone up and to go to a brother or someone that's struggling and give them a word of encouragement and build them up, we're also going to eat the fruit of that. There's a fruit there also. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love the power of the tongue, and we can. There's a bad power of the tongue, and I believe there's a good power of the tongue, where we can speak life into someone's and someone that's discouraged, and we can encourage them, and we can see them prosper from that word of encouragement. We should love that. We should love to do that, and we should practice that. And there's a fruit that comes from that. There's an encouragement that comes from that in our own life. I've experienced that. Being able to give a word of encouragement to someone and to see them move on in their life because of that is an inspiration. And sadly, I don't do it enough. I asked my wife yesterday, when is the last time you called someone just to give them a word of encouragement? Just specifically a word of encouragement. When was the last time you did that? She said, well, when was the last time you did? It's been a long time. Just to call someone specifically to give them a word of encouragement. That's the life and the power of the tongue. Also, 17:27, this is another verse. He says, He that hath knowledge, has understanding, spares his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So if we have knowledge of our own needs, I would say, of our own needs, we'll be careful. We'll spare our words against others. It's not saying that we never speak in each other's lives. That's not what it's saying. But it's a carefulness that we have knowledge. It's a carefulness how we speak. Maybe there'd be a better way to say it. Also in the New Testament, there's many verses in the New Testament that talk about our speech. I was actually kind of surprised how I didn't take it into consideration how many times it talks about our speech. I'm not going to talk about too many of them here. Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Titus, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptibility, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We can live a pretty good life, and we can look pretty nice and on the outward, and if we have a mean tongue, that is not going to win souls, and it won't win people to Christ. If we have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, that someone that's against us or outside the kingdom, they'd have nothing evil to say of us. They have nothing bad to say of us. And I'm confident that Titus was like this in his life. Seems like we have a lot of instruction in the Bible about our tongues and how we should speak one to another. But yet it seems we allow our tongue to be out of control at times. Jesus told the Pharisees there in Matthew 12 that they were speaking out of their mouth what was in their heart. I said that earlier. May we have an honest heart to look into that, what is coming out of our mouth. Ephesians chapter 4 is another place, starting in verse 22, where we get instruction for our speech. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need, or that had needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, where you are sealed on the day of redemption, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I wrote down in my note, in my Bible, in that section of verses, look at all the action words. There's a lot of action words there. It means that we need to enact our will and engage our will and put these into practice in our life, because they're not going to come naturally. The things of God do not come naturally to us. So speaking of the tongue, we all know this chapter in James. I don't think I'll read it for sake of time. But James 1 through 18 talks about the tongue and how men have tamed every kind of animal there is. But the tongue cannot be tamed. But it can be tamed. It can be changed by the Spirit of God. When we allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts, the tongue can be tamed. The tongue can be tamed, and that's the only way it can be tamed. So I do want to read verse 13 through 18. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among him? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." He's still talking about the tongue, I believe. This wisdom that's from above, we often divide that earthly, and I believe he's still talking about our speech here in these last five verses. Our speech may be filled with wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. And we know we need wisdom when we speak to each other in the home or to those we meet. We need wisdom. We need the wisdom of God to guide our speech and our tongues. If you noticed, there's a list there. There's a list there of... here they are. There's a list there of wisdom, earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. So in the earthly wisdom, we have envy, we have strife, we have lying, we have worldly or earthly, is another word for that. We have devilish, we have confusion, and then in the end he just says every evil work. On this side, heavenly wisdom, it's pure, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easily to be entreated. I wasn't going to spell it out, but it means persuasion. It can be persuaded that it's wrong. It's compliant. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruit. There's no partiality. And there's no hypocrisy. I think I spelled all those right. That's a big contrast in wisdom. The list here on the right is how we should be relating to each other. This is how we should be relating to each other. This should be our manner of speech. Our manner of speech in our homes and with our wives, with our children, should resemble that. That's how we should be speaking. That's how we should be talking. And in the church and in brotherhood, it seems too often this ends up. This is what happens, and it should not be named among us, is what the scriptures would say. But I know it does because I've been guilty of it. I know it does because I've been guilty of it. So I thought about this topic of our speech in the last few weeks. There's a question rose in my mind, and I asked my wife first. And I also asked in the last couple days, This weekend, I asked three different brothers from three different areas, from three different churches. I asked them the same question, and they all came back with the same answer. They all came back with, "No, I haven't." And the question I was wondering was, has any of you ever known or heard of someone that faced church discipline for slander, evil speaking, or gossip? Has any of you have ever heard of anyone? And I can almost assure you none of you did. Why is that? Why is that? It's a sin. It's a sin, just like adultery and fornication and stealing. We read it here in Ephesians, let him steal no more. And it struck me, it really struck me, that in the New Testament and the Old Testament, we have all these verses that tell us how we are to speak, how we are to guard our tongue, and yet, we're guilty of it. Scripture tells, in Ephesians 31, it says, let all these things be put away from you. Put away from you the cheating and the lying and the fornication. But he said also the speech, let it be put away from you. Let it not be named among you. I know I have personally never met anyone or heard of anyone who faced church discipline in their lives for this part of their life. But yet, I know and I've experienced and I've been guilty of doing it, doing these things in my life. Our Anabaptist churches have a lot of good and right things, and I appreciate them. I appreciate the churches that we're part of and our upbringing. But this, I believe, is one of the greatest blights upon us, is our unsound, unedifying, idle words that we speak. The slander, the evil speaking, the gossip, and it destroys people. It destroys those we speak about, and it destroys us if we're guilty of it. And it destroys our children. And as I asked those questions to, we were there in Kentucky Friday and Saturday, and three men I knew, and asked them that question, and they all said, no, I haven't. And they were from Mennonite and different backgrounds, and it struck me that I think it's time, as a people, we just get honest before God and repent if we need to repent, because this thing doesn't just go away. This thing doesn't just go away. I know of, I can think of old women that were practiced this all their life, and as old women, they still did it, and it just does not go away. It needs to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and the power of God in our life. It can cleanse us of that just as much as it cleansed us from alcohol and drugs and every other evil thing that we've done. It has God has the power to make us new creatures in this area of life. In closing, I'll read some verses in chapter 5 of Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 19 is this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Having a thankful heart. If we have a thankful heart, we heard it today in our children's lesson there at church, a thankful heart. If we have a thankful heart, those things that don't go our way at times won't be so bad to deal with, because we just have a thankful heart. So I think that's all I have. May the Lord be merciful to us and grant us His grace to grow in grace in our lives and concerning our speech, our tongues. And may we exhort one another to love and good works, and help each other along in our walk with God, because we truly, we do, we need each other. And may the Lord bless you.